we descend. See you in a minute.
Your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, hello, hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is February 26th, 2021, and it's 1900 UTC. This is a pre-recorded show, just so you know, I'm recording it a whole hour early. So, the news isn't old, but I'm not speaking to you live because I've got meetings today, which sucks. But on the bright side, I have been sitting.
UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy. We are back on the roof. It's been rainy the last several days, so this morning it was raining cats and dogs as I drove in. Well, actually yesterday it rained cats and dogs. This morning it was dry, but the weatherman said that it was like a 50% chance of rain all afternoon. But here I am. It's 1900 UTC. Nope. There are clouds in the sky, but no impending rain. If you want to hang out, I'm going to connect over to Calm now. So, if you want to hang out during the show and talk and all of that jazz, you're more than welcome to. All you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org, and then once you're there, launch Calm. C-O-M, press enter, then G for go to, and then Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word, and you'll be in Calm with the cool people like X1 and Exile and LCD, and let's see, Quentin, big negative, heading towards negative 1,000. It'll be a big time day. Hey, and Snowdusk is here. Hey, welcome, one and all. This is exciting to see everybody here, especially Snowdusk. If you like electronic music, you owe it to yourself to check out the Intergalactic Wasabi Mix over there in the archive, or find him on the schedule. Lots of cool stuff. And Publius is here. Welcome. With Publius, Publius has a Patreon, the Man in Adam Society. But as a member, I got a postcard from all the way across the ocean in the mail yesterday. So definitely check it out. There's a lot of cool stuff going on Anon Radio, and you can be a part of it. You are a part of it by just being here, hanging out in Calm, listening to the show, all that jazz. But yeah, because there's no rain, I'm kind of regretting it. I couldn't ride my motorcycle because the rear tire had all the the belt showing, like it had gone bald. I wore it out, and so I went and got the tire replaced yesterday, and then today I couldn't ride to work because it was supposed to rain, and now it's nice. So, you know, that's what happens. Cool, Poulis. Yeah, I'll post a photo whenever I get home. But yeah, so anyway, that's enough. That's kind of the meta. That's the meta part of the show. Kind of talk about what's happening in Marcus Land and kind of shout outs to Calm and everything. It is a beautiful day here. It is going to be 26 degrees, which is 6 degrees warmer than it was supposed to be yesterday. So big increase in warmth with rain expected at 20 hours. I'm not sure if that's going to happen. It looks very nice outside. Anywho, let me increase the brightness on my phone so you can see what's going on in Calm. Snowdusk says, Publi sends the best paper email. fantastic. Yeah. Yeah, I got a letter from Tobe once, or I got a physical thing from Tobe. It was amazing. That was a R6 cruising by really fast and loud. And in Germany, peanut butter is not commonly found, but applesauce comes in creamy and crunchy. Applework. Applework. Beautiful. All right. Sorry, I was walking across the garage roof to the other side because I realized from that corner where I was, people who I work with could see me and they'd know that I was goofing off. All right, boom. So now let's go into our bookmarks. Bookmarks, desktop bookmarks. You know the drill. Bookmarks menu, news to me, April the 25th. No, today's the 26th. Uh-oh, we better sync.
It's Wednesday.
Siri always thinks I'm talking. If I pick up my wrist at all, Siri thinks I'm talking to it. It's very annoying. Settings. Sync now. Okay. There's the problem. It last synced at 8 a.m. Oh, dear. Now, this is extra gross. So, you know, the Dubious Skulls Committee goes out and wanders around in the woods and finds cool nature things. I'm on the roof at the work parking garage. There's a used condom, some tissue paper that's wadded up, and an empty 20-ounce plastic bottle. That's kind of gross. You never want to find a used condom when you're out on a walk. I mean, unless it's yours, I guess, maybe, but probably not. I'll just walk over here so I'm not looking at it. Syncing has finished. Bookmarks, April 26th. All right, we're back in business. Hey, Martronic, welcome, welcome. All right. Quentin just cruising by on the bike. Beautiful. All right, so let's get going. Yeah, exactly. There's one right behind there, so it should be. Hey, Jay Lamoth, welcome, welcome. All right, away we go. First, Taliban kill IS leader behind Kabul airport bombing. The Islamic State group mastermind, thought to have planned the devastating 2021 bombing at Kabul airport, has been killed by Afghanistan's ruling Taliban, U.S. officials say. The bombing that August killed 170 civilians and 13 U.S. soldiers as people were trying to flee the country as the Taliban took control. The IS figure was killed weeks ago, but it took time to confirm his death, U.S. officials told BBC News partner CBS. His name has not been released. U.S. officials said they had determined through intelligence gathering and monitoring of the region that the leader had died, though they did not provide further details on how they'd learned that he was responsible for the bombing. Experts in the government are at high confidence that this individual was indeed the key individual responsible. According to a report in the New York Times, the U.S. learned of the leader's death in early April. It's unclear whether he was targeted by the Taliban or if he was killed during ongoing fighting between IS and the Taliban. On Monday, the U.S. began notifying families of the soldiers killed about the death of the IS leader. Darren Hoover, father of Marine Staff Sergeant Taylor Hoover, confirmed to CBS that he'd been notified of the news by the Marine Corps. They couldn't tell me any details of the operation, but they did state that their sources are highly trusted and they've got it from several different sources. The individual was indeed killed. So, there we go. A little update there for you. Yeah, extremist on extremist violence, police. Exactly, 100%. Quentin is at negative 10-10. We're in binary mode now. Sirius parallel twin power. Yeah, exactly, Snowdust. Watching the people fall off of the plane. That was a horrible event, the way that evacuation was handled. Alright, so that's what's going on there in Afghanistan. But don't worry, Africa is still at the top of the list for the death and destruction game. Mozambique has decided to continue destroying its environment. Well, I guess that's kind of opinionated. Mozambique President Filipe Nyusi has said it's safe to restart the Cabo Delgado liquefied natural gas project that was halted in April 2021 after rebel attacks on civilians. We talked about this place quite a bit because I remember saying Cabo Delgado quite a lot for a little while. Nyusi told a mining and energy conference in Maputo on Wednesday that Mozambique wanted to take advantage of the current high prices of liquid natural gas and the global shift towards cleaner sources of energy. If you recall, the West is at, or Ukraine and Russia are fighting, and the U.S. and NATO don't like that. So Russia, with a lot of its natural gas, is not selling it to the U.S. or to the Western Europe. The natural gas prices are really high. Or much higher than they have been in the past. Violence by armed groups affiliated with ISIL or ISIS in the northern Mozambican province has claimed thousands of lives since 2017, which disrupted multi-billion dollar investments, including the $20 billion liquid natural gas project, which Total Energies has a 26.5% stake. Hey, that's my friend Eck walking down there. Oh, he's got food. I won't yell at him. The working environment and security in northern Mozambique makes it possible for Total to resume its activities at any time. Total Energy's spokesperson said a decision to restart the project depended on assurances of security and human rights. A clear vision of the cost of the project after an interruption of more than 2 years, which must be maintained and not increase. The restart is a decision of Mozambique LNG and not a decision of Total Energy, which only owns 26.5% of the project. Given the context, the decision will have to be unanimous, and Total Energy's position is that it is appropriate to take the time to have the expected assurances before considering a possible restart. So essentially, that breaks down to, we only own a quarter of this, so we can't really say start or not start. We want to be sure that it's safe to start, though. And so it's ultimately Mozambique's call. Who knows? Many poor countries feel as though their only way out of poverty is to sell minerals, although it doesn't entirely work out so great. So that's from Publius there. Yeah, a lot of energy exports. Solar power. I watched a great video. I wish I had saved the link so I could share it with you guys. It was about solar power, but it was about reflected solar power. It's where they take a bunch of mirrors and point them, focus them all at one point at the top of a tower, and then at the top of the tower is basically like a heat exchanger thing where they melt. It's got molten salt, and they use the melted salt to turn a steam turbine. Anyway, the resource curse. If you want to look up and know more about that. Alrighty, so what else is happening in the world? Well, environment's being destroyed in one part, but that doesn't mean that people aren't dying or otherwise being hurt in some other way. South Africa is backtracking on leaving the International Criminal Court, saying there was a communications error, which I think is amazing. It's like one of those, it's kind of like the mission accomplished banner. It's really a huge mistake. South Africa is not planning to quit the International Criminal Court, as suggested earlier by President Cyril Ramaphosa. His office says, citing a communication error from his ruling ANC party, that's Alpha November Charlie party,
Hours earlier, Ramaphosa had said the African National Congress had decided to withdraw South Africa from the court, which last month issued an arrest warrant against President Vladimir Putin. The ICC warrant means South Africa, due to host this year's BRICS summit of Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, would have to detain Putin on arrival. The presidency wishes to clarify that South Africa remains a signatory to the ICC, Ramaphosa's office said on Tuesday. It said the clarification follows an error in a comment made during a media briefing held by the governing African National Congress. The ANC had earlier told journalists that the issue of South Africa withdrawing from the ICC had been raised at a weekend meeting of its National Executive Council. Then, when questioned by a journalist during a joint news conference with visiting Finnish President Sauli Niinisto, Ramaphosa said the ANC has taken that decision that it is prudent that South Africa should pull out of the ICC. The presidency said, regrettably, Ramaphosa had erroneously affirmed a similar position to the ruling party. In another statement Tuesday night, the ANC said an unintended impression may have been created that a categorical decision for an immediate withdrawal had been taken. This is not so. So, there you go. He said, she said. Kind of a bummer there. Tobe points out, you know, if you could just build a sun in a building, solar power would be much more practical. Yeah, if we could get our fusion reactors going, that'd be kind of cool, too. Martronic pointing out solar panel efficiency is not that great. Quentin pointing out the reaction banner is used, or the mission accomplished banner is a great reaction for him. All right. Huh. Hey, thanks, Exile. Yeah, we're on 673 now. All right, let's keep it moving. Today's an easily distracted day, but at least I'm awake. I woke up early. I went to bed not too late. I tried to go out, but it was raining yesterday, so that I had my bike back, and so I was driving around all over the place, and then it started raining, and I was like, well, I guess I gotta go home. Fortunately, my pants dried out before work today. I have my favorite pair of jeans, and they have a backup pair of jeans. You know how that goes. So, this is sadness. The Mexican military received nearly a dozen complaints about cartel activity in the region, where 43 students were abducted in September of 2014. Emails hacked from the country's defense ministry reveal, but the armed forces apparently did little to tackle organized crime. The students' kidnapping and disappearance, which took place in the city of Iguala in Guerrero State, was one of the most horrific and high-profile human rights abuses in Mexico's recent history, and remains unsolved despite years of protests and relentless pursuit of justice by the students' parents. In the 8 months before the students were attacked, the citizens of Iguala and surrounding towns wrote at least 10 emails to the 27th Infantry Battalion denouncing the presence of criminal groups and the apparent collusion of local authorities. Some included photos of alleged members of the Guerreros Unidos cartel, which is accused of orchestrating the disappearance. Armed men have returned to patrol their town, wrote one person, referring to a nearby hamlet, a month before the disappearance of the students. They meet next to the town cemetery. They also meet in the square of Cocula, Guerrero, without being bothered by ministerial, state, or municipal police. Taken together, the emails capture the fear and frustration experienced by the region's citizens due to the presence of violent criminal groups. There were all these citizens' complaints about heightened levels of criminal activity right there in that part of Guerrero in the weeks and months before the boys were kidnapped. And clearly nothing was done, said Kate Doyle, a senior analyst at the National Security Archive in Washington, D.C. The messages are chilling because we know what happens next. So yeah, very, very sad. No real word on what will happen to the, or if anything will happen to the people who ignored the call for help. Let's see. This article goes on and on and on. Last month, members of the military, the National Guard, and agents of the Guerrero Attorney General's Office finally carried out an operation to capture El Pez and his brother, known as El Fresa. Both escaped and are still at large. So there you go. They years later, they caught the people who committed the crime, or believed to commit the crime, but then they escaped because they weren't really caught too well. So, you know, these aren't necessarily horrible stories, but being the middle of the week and being kind of a slow news day, I found a couple of nicer stories that I wanted to bring up. First, we go to Africa, where a grown man has been dressing up like Spider-Man. Why? Why, you might ask? Well, in the streets of Osogbo, Osun State, Jonathan Olenlokun is a superhero with new superpower, except his determination to make a difference in his community. In Nigeria, environmental waste poses a major challenge, especially in urban regions. In Olenlokun dresses as Spider-Man on a regular basis and goes out litter picking. The costume gets him noticed and draws attention to the problem of litter on the streets. He started his work as an environmental activist in 2004, 19 years ago. I cleaned up the streets, I tell people about how they can keep their environment clean, but more people still don't take me serious, and I feel sad about this, but that won't stop me from doing my good work. Right on. I kept doing it until 2021. I started wearing the Spider-Man costume, and I started having positive results. People started taking me serious, and I'm happy about this. There's joy in me. People are now more concerned about their environment than before, he says, all smiles. One major challenge facing waste management in Nigeria is a lack of adequate infrastructure and resources for waste collection and disposal. Many local authorities struggle to provide basic waste management services, leading to uncollected rubbish piling up in the streets, open spaces, and drainage channels. This is pretty cool. I thank this man because of what he's doing. He's making our surroundings clean, says Jimo Oyelade. A number of initiatives are underway in Nigeria to help sort out its waste management issues. The UN estimates that approximately 11.2 billion tons of solid waste are gathered worldwide, presents significant threats to the ecosystem and humans, while also accounting for about 5% of global greenhouse gas emissions. Ooh, Tom is bumping and jumping a little bit. Let's see what's going on. Exiled says, I am woke. I am awake. I'm not sleepy today. Indeed, which is why solar panel tech is still being worked on, as well as battery. Ah, high efficiency PV panels tend to be very... Martronic and Publius going back and forth about solar versus atomic energy or nuclear power, and talking about power generation. Exiled Wednesday. We've had Spider-Man on the streets of Hollywood for ages. LCD agrees with Publius on atomic energy. And, oh yeah. So, with all this talk of nuclear stuff, why don't we jump into the nuclear news? We've got a bunch of technology news that involves nuclear power. So, let's start with... Sorry, it takes a second for world nuclear news to load. Framatome received approval from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission, or NRC, to apply the company's suite of advanced codes and methods to operating conditions with uranium-235 enrichments above the industry standard of 5%. This approval is a critical step toward the company's goal of reload readiness by 2027 for implementing nuclear fuel with higher uranium enrichments and burnups in the current light water reactor fleet. The NRC decision is an important milestone for the company's advanced fuel development efforts, targeting improved fuel utilization for nuclear plant operators and systematic improvements for safety and plant economics. Yeah, if the fuel was consumed wholly or mostly and generated less waste, I think the public would be much more on board. Even though there's minimal waste as it is. Kind of the scary part is that it's like the spent fuel rods are just part of the waste that they're dealing with. A lot of times it's stuff that's contaminated, you know, the cement that was around the nuclear, near the reactor, or all the stuff in the plant. Fuel vendors and power reactor licensees are exploring the possibility of increasing the maximum enrichment of fuel up to 10%, but NRC regulations currently limit uranium-235 enrichment levels in power reactor fuel to no more than 5% by weight. In June 2021, the NRC accepted a topical report to apply Framatome's suite of advanced codes and methods to operating conditions with U-235 enrichments above 5%. These margins provide nuclear plant operators with the flexibility to extend their reactor performance when coupled with the company's nuclear fuel technology and its higher enrichment and burn-up characteristics. The NRC also demonstrates that Framatone can effectively model reactor behavior in the evaluation of neutronic, thermal, hydraulic, small and large break loss of coolant accident, or LOCA, and non-LOCA safety analysis. So anyway, we won't go through the whole story, but very interesting indeed. Let's see what we got here. Discussion of other nuclear options. Yeah, small modular reactors and such. We've talked about a few of them. Seaborg is a company that has one. They're getting pretty close to putting it on a boat, but it'll be for ships. Be retrofitting ships from using the that practically burning just crude oil to being able to use nuclear, just swapping out the power plants on them. Alright, there's more nuclear news, of course. Don't worry. There's always more nuclear news. The U.S. has docked nuclear submarines in Korea. President Joe Biden and South Korea's Yoon Suk-yeol announced Wednesday the two nations will bolster the response to North Korea's persistent nuclear threat with an agreement that includes plans to dock U.S. nuclear-armed submarines in South Korea for the first time in over 40 years, bolster training between the two countries, and improve information sharing between the allies. The new extended nuclear deterrence efforts was unveiled as Biden hosted Yoon for a state visit at a moment of heightened anxiety over an increased pace of ballistic missile tests by North Korea. Ooh, a horsefly. Go away. A nuclear attack by North Korea against the United States or its allies and partners is unacceptable and will result in the end of whatever regime were to take such an action, is what Yoon said from the Rose Garden. So, we'll see if a deterrent works or not. Hey, Tin, welcome, welcome. Publius pointing out, high enrichment fuel for thermal reactors is only attractive if you assume there will not be a large global growth of nuclear power. It means using up more natural uranium, depleting the stocks of uranium-235 faster. I think the two biggest reactors, biggest factors holding nuclear back is the problem of spent fuel and inability for reactors to power their own cooling systems when both grid and generator loss occurs. It's a good point, LCD. All right. More nuclear news, you ask? Well, why don't you? Can you tell it was a slow news day? I couldn't find any death or destruction, really. It was pretty amazing. Our good pal Trudeau, up in the north in Canada, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said Canada is very serious about reviving nuclear energy production, to lower the country's reliance on fossil fuels. The Prime Minister made comments in response to a question about Canada's liquid natural gas exports to Germany during a discussion with German President Frank-Walter Steinmeier and university students in Ottawa on Monday. Trudeau last year said he wasn't persuaded to advance liquid natural gas exports to Germany, which has been searching for alternative energy sources as it moves away from Russian imports. Trudeau said while Canada has increased its natural gas exports to the global market, the country is prioritizing reducing dependency on oil and gas in the coming decades. Let's see. Trudeau said there will be a need for oil and gas far into the future, but rather than burning it for energy, it will be used in other processes, like making plastics. The Prime Minister suggested increased attention to nuclear energy would be key in the shift, adding Canada has been investing in small modular reactors. Germany, on the other hand, shut down its nuclear power plants earlier this month. Chris Kiefer, president of Canadians for Nuclear Energy, applauded the decision, saying it signals a growing enthusiasm in Ottawa towards nuclear energy. Sounds like Publius needs to take a field trip up there with them into shape. Let's check in on Com here, see what's happening. A lot of pluses. The Z-Man is in town. Going away. I prefer detergent over deterrent. Let's see. Publius has spent the last few years reading a lot of primary scientific papers and other sources relating to nuclear power. Snowdesk agrees. Publius should be in Canada, to be honest. Oh, Publius will be in Canada in July, which is actually a great time to be up so far north. My job has introduced a 4-week remote work period. So every year you can take up to 4 weeks, we can go work remotely. And I think in the summertime, especially since my birthday's in July,